This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tonight, film review time. So we've got Stephen A. Russell in to do his fortnightly film reviews. Welcome, Stephen.
Welcome, lads. Hello, lads, even. Well, yes. I'm just all a flutter because it's the Oscars tomorrow.
Oh, my God, what's going on?
look, we kind of covered them, I feel like, quite a lot last time. But what I wanted to say is, out this week is a film that I feel has unfairly disappeared during award season.
Okay.
And that is Vox Lux by writer-director Brady Corbett, who, now, he pulled out one of my favourite debuts about a couple of years ago, The Childhood of a Leader. And this is yet another visually stunning film. And it's kind of, you could almost boil it down to The Dark Side of A Star is Born. Okay. So what you've got Natalie Portman, who I really think should be up for a Best Actress Oscar here.
Yeah, you're not the only one that's saying that.
Yeah. Other people have said, and she's just vanished. I don't know why. She's not, like, you know, it's just disappeared. Mm. But she actually shares the role in this film. So maybe that's one of the things that occasionally, you know, it trips up people. But she shares a role with young Rafi Cassidy, who is also a bit of a revelation. And they play Celeste. Now, the first half of the film shows her teenage life, and basically it's set in the late 90s, and it's very obviously a Columbine style school shooting.
Yep.
And she, you know, all of her classmates are killed, but she survives with a bullet in her neck, and then goes on to sing at, you know, in what's now become hauntingly familiar, the kind of candlelight vigil. And this posits that this appearance kind of, you know, she becomes noticed by the music industry, and then, you know, becomes kind of manipulated by a manager played by Jude Law and Jennifer L, a publicist, and becomes, you know, this huge pop sensation.
And it's very sort of glam rock, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, really.
Like the look she has, it's quite, and it's so... So it's such a departure for her, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I love it because when we jump forward about 15 years, and at the same time we have Willem Dafoe offering this really kind of creepy fairy tale narration about how the world has basically gone to hell, and, you know, 9/11 happens and there's terrorism everywhere. And at the same time you've got this, you know, you've got these really big themes of you know, how we consume celebrity, and how it's not entirely dissimilar from the way we consume disaster on news channels 24/7 as well. Yep. And Natalie Portman is just, honestly, I love when she gets let off the leash, and this is just an insane performance where she, you know, kind of chews the scenery as this narcissistic, drug and drink, you know, obsessed pop star who doesn't really care about her daughter, which Rafi Cassidy then goes on to play as well. So she plays the younger Celeste and then Celeste's daughter.
Right, okay.
Look, Brady Corbett, just, he's this great actor who was in, you know, Michael Haneke's Funny Games, Lars von Trier's Melancholia, Greg Araki, Mysterious Skin. He did all of these indie films, and he's gone on to create, yeah, complex and unusual films that really push a lot of buttons and they leave you thinking about them. Mm. I cannot recommend this highly enough. It's four stars for me.
Wow. And what's Jude Law like?
He is so great.
Yeah, like, he's such a good actor.
He really is. And he plays, he has this incredible ability of being utterly repulsive and yet still attractive at the same time.
Like,
he plays that kind of sleazy creep really well.
Yeah. Oh, and good. Four stars.
Four stars for me. Get out. See Vox Lux in cinemas now.
Okay.
Also this week, David, and we've got Undermined Tales from the Kimberley, which is a great Australian documentary by Nicholas Rathel, who did Gore Vidal, The United States of Amnesia, a few years ago. And really what he does is he's gone into, you know, the Indigenous communities who have looked after this beautiful expanse in the north of West Australia that has more or less been untouched, but is increasingly becoming, you know, a target for massive mining companies and governments moving in on that. And really, it's quite a meditative doco that lets the people who live there talk about their connection to land in their own words, and to talk about, you know, some of the joys, but also a lot of the heartache. And it's a really thoughtful documentary that has you really concerned for the future of our country. And, you know, when we're talking about big debates about, you know, treaty or constitutional recognition, I think if you're interested in that stuff, then this is a brilliant film that also looks at how, you know, when we're facing climate change, how, yep, you know, the First Nations have been looking after this country for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could learn a trick or two if we just listen.
Yep.
So that's another great one. I'm going to give that 3.5, David.
Yeah.
Neil and David, I think you're both like Laurel and Hardy. Are you fans of the comics? I wasn't a fan, but I'm aware of.
And I have seen the shorts to this too, so it does actually look quite interesting.
And
so,
two great actors playing the lead. Yeah.
Look, on paper, this seems like a no-brainer. I mean, you've got Stan and Ollie, directed by John S. Baird, who hasn't done a lot, but he did do a great Irvin Welsh adaptation in Filth. And it's written by Jeff Pope, who people will probably know for Philomena a few years back.
Yep.
So look, again, that all sounds great. Then you've got John C. Reilly playing Ollie, which, you know, great casting, and Steve Coogan as Stan. Mm. And what it looks at is the end of their career.
That's right.
Yeah, so they've kind of fallen.
They're on tour.
Yeah, look, the film work's dried up. They're kind of blackballed in Hollywood. They more or less desperation go on a UK, you know, comedy tour of kind of like falling down theatres. And they're also at kind of at wit's end with each other as well. So look, all of this sounds absolutely brilliant, but for some reason I just didn't feel the magic. I felt it just felt really disconnected. I didn't think they had great chemistry. I didn't think that it was well written. What I will say though is absolutely brilliant is Shirley Henderson and Nina Arianda as their wives.
Oh, okay.
And to be honest, I kind of felt myself about 2/3 of the way through wishing it was their film instead, and thinking that perhaps that might have been a more interesting way. Look, I'm sure lots of people will love it. I can only really give it 2.5.
Right.
I'm sure if you're a big fan of, you know, Laurel and Hardy,
it's part of history, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, Hollywood, the two of the biggest comedians
in history. They ruled the world really at one stage. Yeah. And it is pretty sad. I wanted to feel more sadness for where it ended up, but I didn't quite. But you know what? As always say, go and make up your own mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on that kind of older kick, we've had this weird, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's been a bit of a splurge in old men heist flicks recently. It seems to be a rapidly expanding subgenre.
Yes.
So we had very recently Robert Redford's apparent swan song, but, you know, they're awful good at announcing swan songs and then forgetting that. But anyway, he did The Old Man and the Gun. And then we had Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine in Going in Style.
Yep.
Well, Michael Caine apparently wants to dominate the subgenre because he's also in King of Thieves. And what this is a dramatisation of the biggest heist that's ever happened in the UK, which was the breaking into the Hatton, I can't remember the jewellery area in London.
I don't know.
Hatton Cross, is it, I think? Anyway, they find out that there's a vault that's going to be all of a sudden more accessible. And so a whole bunch of, you know, lifelong crooks that are also included, and people will recognise so many of these British stalwarts, Ray Winston, Jim Broadbent, Paul Whitehouse, Michael Gambon and Tom Courtney. And they also recruit a youngster in Daredevil star Charlie Cox, because they basically need someone who A, understands how the technology works nowadays, and B, is slightly slimmer of waist when it comes to squishing through holes.
Yeah.
And look, this—it's kind of predictable, but it's entertaining. You know, it also what it does great is it uses loads of fantastic music, and there is lots of archival footage of the various stars in old black and white movies.
Oh, okay.
Which is a really lovely touch. So again, you know, if you love these guys, and who does not love watching Ken at work? You know, I mean, that's
quite an impressive cast as well, isn't it?
They've all done
a lot of movies and
they have movies. And you know there's definitely a lot of love for their legacies in there. I'd probably give this one three and a half in a generous mood, I reckon. And lastly, have we got time to squish one more in?
Sure, yep, we do.
The other one I absolutely love, lads, is a Danish film called The Guilty, and it's directed by Gustav Møller, and it's his debut, and it could not be any simpler. Basically, you've got Jacob Södergren as a kind of benched detective who's, you don't know exactly what he's done, but he's fallen a bit from grace and he's been bumped into the emergency contact, like the 000, you know, room. And what he does is he takes a call from a hysterical woman whispering who gets cut off, but who announces that she's been kidnapped and is in the boot of a car. And so the next 90 minutes never leave this call center, and it's essentially just him on the phone, but it is a thrill ride of, you know, Steven Soderbergh or Hitchcockian, you know, extent. It's so incredibly nail-biting. All you get are, you know, as he tries to get back in touch with her, then you hear possibly the kidnapper, then he tries to report the crime, but he doesn't have enough, so he has to start going through friends to try and pull favors, and then just when you think you know what's happening, there are some massive twists that occur. And honestly, this one really blew me away at the Melbourne International Film Festival last year, and I would give this 4 stars as well.
What's it called?
It's called The Guilty.
Right.
And it's a Danish thriller. You know, they do their kind of dark and twisted stuff so well. And that's kind of me. You start dark and twisted with Ox Lux, end with it, The Guilty.
Yeah, and of course, the big day tomorrow.
I cannot wait.
Although, it's so predictable, I think, this year, isn't it?
It's really dull. I feel like there's so many locks. But you know what?
Well, you never know. But I mean, you're right. I mean, award season's been predictable because it's been the same ones, you know.
Even like at the Indie Spirits yesterday, now the Indie Spirits, you know, have a few heroes that wouldn't have got otherwise, but they still went for Glenn Close as Best Actress. I'm like, come on.
It seems almost like a shoe-in, doesn't it?
Who won Best Actor?
I think I could be wrong on air, but I think it was Ethan Hawke, First Reformed.
Okay.
That might be massively wrong, but I think that's who it was.
Right, okay.
Well, that's a little bit of a turn for the book, because it wasn't...
Well, he's brilliant, and that film is a knockout, so people, you know, look it
up. Well, I just hope that Lady Gaga wins Best Song.
I think that's pretty. I think there would have to be an earthquake, and she would have to fall into the chasm for that not to happen.
Because it's such a great song, and you know, like, and Mark Ronson's involved, and
I'm pretty sure that is most guaranteed.
I think that's one statue tomorrow. She should be taking home.
Yeah, she's got it. It's in her handbag. It's or in her meat handbag. It's already there.
Exactly.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You're welcome. Cheers, lads.
See you in a fortnight's time. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.